Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst, from swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to support the conservation and restoration of Hearst Castle while offering youth programs for underserved students. Discover how you can become a member by going to foundation@hearstcastle.com and learn how you can support this unique and invaluable mission.
Hi, I'm Lisa Fox. I'm the owner of Leapers Creek Gallery.
I'm John Grimm. My wife and I, Talbot, own the Copper Fox Gallery.
I'm David Arms, and I own the David Arms Gallery.
Talbot Grimm, own the Copper Fox Gallery with my husband, John.
I'm Tom Wilmer, and here we are. Leapers Fork, Tennessee. I love it. So you all moved here by choice, right? You weren't born and bred here?
Not born and bred here, but have been here for 30 years.
But you were kind of kidnapped, weren't you?
A little bit kidnapped. Yes. As far as Leapers Fork goes, I was kidnapped. But we lived right down the road, and no one ever came out this way, so we never came down this far down from our house. And I was sent out here to paint a mural and fell in love with the place and then got hijacked into running this gallery.
And when you moved in, this was in the middle of a rehab from an auto garage?
It was, yep. It was a Gulf filling station. This room that we're in was the paint and body shop.
Kind of is still a paint shop, huh?
Kind of is, yeah. Lots of paint around. Mm-hmm.
The question is, what? I've been here 7 years.
Yeah, how did you get here? Where'd you come from?
I came from New York. My wife and I lived in Westchester County in New York. Three children come to school in Tennessee, and every time we came down, we just were so surprised how friendly the people were.
How school were they at?
They were all at the University of the South, Sewanee. Uh-huh. Just couldn't get over the beautiful countryside. So every year we'd be coming down, visiting the school. We'd venture out into Nashville, found Franklin, thought Franklin was quite charming. Kind of stumbled on Leapers Fork. Just couldn't believe how enchanting it was, how friendly it was, how welcoming.
How long ago was it when you first discovered?
7 years, over 7 years ago.
Tell us about.
We really enjoyed coming down to visit, and we were able to rent a little house in Leapers Fork when we first moved down. So that's how we ended up here.
David?
I have lived in Nashville 40 plus years, had the gallery here in Leapers Fork for 11, but have been coming to Leapers Fork for about 20. When Lisa opened this gallery, I was actually showing my work in her gallery.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and so I used to just come hang out on the front porch because nobody was coming down here at the time. And just dream of what this place could be. Mm-hmm. And so this many years later, we're seeing
it happen.
Yeah.
Dovetail to your art and craft, because to survive, you can't just be a producer, right?
It takes a lot of work. It really does. And I'm a painter as well, so I'm always walking the line between running the gallery and doing my own work.
You have to be strict with yourself to carve out that time, or it just gets eaten away, or no?
It mostly gets eaten away. I believe that when you're an artist, that everything in the world comes up against you to keep you from painting. So the people that can push through that and keep doing it, they're the ones that find their way. But there are all kinds of obstacles, and it's always a challenge to bust on through that.
Stubbornness comes in handy, doesn't it?
It does.
Tenacity.
Determination, yes, it does.
Well, I was doing a cowboy story, and the assignment was, is the cowboy dead and gone, you know? The culture. I'm interviewing this one rancher, and he said, hell, if you cut a cowboy's head off, he'd just go run around looking for it. And that's kind of like the artist, you know? All your friends and mother and everybody are saying, get a real job, you know? You don't understand. Yeah. Talk to us about your creative journey.
Well, you mentioned tenacity, and I think not only does it take tenacity, it takes dedication. 90 artists that are in our gallery, what we witness is dedication, continued education, and it goes so deep. We'll visit artist studios, and you'll see volumes of books on different applications of paint, chemical elements in the pottery and the process behind that. It's not a casual affair that mm-hmm. goes on between an artist and his craft, and it's really fun to witness it.
Talk to us about your medium.
I am a proprietor. I am not an artist. My mother was an artist, and that's how I claim I got some DNA with all this. My wife was an art major at school. We've always had such a deep appreciation.
Talk to us about your affinity for art and why you guys do what you do with your gallery.
Well, I was, as Johnny said, an art major, worked in design in New York and wholesale, retail, and when our children were small, I managed a little kitchen shop in Westchester. So I had the retail background. So when we moved down here, I went into the Copper Fox, and Lisa and David asked me if I would want to work there. And I did, and that's really how I got to know the gallery and the gallery business itself. And John would come down on weekends and help me. And we just fell into it and loved what we did.
And are you able to curate and determine what you guys have and showcase?
We do. We learned from David and Lisa. We still have most of the original artists that they had at the gallery. We've added many since then, but we really tried to keep the original feel of the Copper Fox and really honor them and what they taught us. So we feel like we've grown it since then.
How would you describe your thematic array of what is there, what people come seeking and expecting to find?
They come to us to see all manner of craft. So it would be anything from pottery, metalwork, hand-blown glass, handmade jewelry. We have textiles. And we also have wall art as well, paintings, some photography, but we really try to have a different feel than David and Lisa have at their gallery, so that when people come out to Leaper's Fork, they're really getting a different flavor in each gallery.
Interesting. Do you try to curate Tennessean artists?
We do. Predominantly our artists are from Tennessee. About 11 other states. Due to artists moving, or we meet someone that we think would be a great fit, but we also try to visit as many as we can so that they don't have to ship work to us, and we like to learn their process.
That's really cool. David, let's talk about your world. You're a working artist, right?
I am. Yeah, the gallery came much later.
Didn't they ever tell you about the left-right brain syndrome?
Yes. Fortunately, I do operate from both sides.
Really?
And yeah, I always have. And so that's helped me, because from the generation I'm from, being an artist wasn't an option. So it never even entered my mind.
Really?
Yeah. So it just, that's not how you would quote unquote provide for a family.
Right.
So it came really by surprise in my mid-30s.
What happened?
I was playing with it. I had very stressful work.
That was became your therapy?
A little, and then people started seeing the work and asking if they could buy it, and then it was...
What medium were you working
on? I work in acrylic.
Yeah, we like acrylic.
Yeah.
It's forgiving.
It is forgiving, and for the way I paint, yeah, I need that drying.
A little white stirred over.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. How about watercolor then? Are you scared of watercolor?
I am not scared of them. I just am most comfortable with acrylic. Mm-hmm. But due to a workshop that Lisa and I attended last year, it's pushed me to start gathering materials and just dive into them.
So you did it. You went
yeah.
there.
Oh, and it's so much fun. Mm-hmm. Yes, just to see what they do. I don't know that I'll ever use them professionally, mm-hmm. maybe, yeah. but they sure do push me, and I love being pushed.
Yeah. It's hard to know you can't really make that big mistake.
That's right, yes.
Talk to us about your art for a moment.
Well, when I first came out here, there were a lot of plein air painters and impressionists, and I jumped into that world. I loved how fast it was painting outdoors. I loved being outdoors, but as the business grew at the gallery, I got less and less able to be outside. I found my landscapes were like transitioning to being more abstract. So about 8 years ago, I jumped over into abstraction. So that's what I'm doing now, and I have a studio at home that I work out of.
This is a real naive question about plein air. What is it that shifts your brain that when you're literally outside painting Why couldn't you just kind of cheat and do it inside?
Well, it's because there's so much value in being in the place, and it's capturing a moment. Listen to the birds and the smells and the sounds, and it all goes into that. I mean, it just does. And painters really believe, like the old masters, in working from life. So you want to be able to see into the shadows and see the variations of color in the shadows. Photography, really and truly, like the lights are too light, the darks are too dark, just doesn't really work as well.
Your art today, it's abstract, but is there some, almost like a hyper-focus?
I've kind of evolved into this place where I'm inspired by the creeks and the outdoors, and I still do go there to be inspired. I even start my paintings in the creek, typically, and lay the bones in, the darks, to get the lines and the composition from nature. And then I take it home and take off from there and abstract it.
Trying to read into your brain, is it kind of reductionist, where you take in those real basic elements?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is. And it feels organic, and it looks maybe watery, and maybe makes you think of water, and maybe makes you think of a creek, but not really. Like, it can go in all kinds of different directions. The viewer, you know, makes up whatever they see when they look at it. But
why does that give you solace?
Because I just love it so much. I spend every day. I go every day to a creek.
Wow.
I just do. I did have a dog that went with me, and that was our thing every morning, but I just lost her. So
I knew your doggy.
Yeah, it's kind of... It's changed for me. It's a challenge right now for me to get back on the creek.
Yeah.
I have been, but it's kind of hard. Yeah. I'll get through it.
Talk to us about some of the artists you carry that you're most proud of.
On the same theme that Lisa has been talking about, evolution or evolving, mm-hmm. It's a real pleasure to watch each artist evolve, grow, mature, change. And every time they bring new pieces in, it's like Christmas morning. And the difference, the growth, the change of direction sometimes. So it's an incredible pleasure to be working with these artists and working with the customers that come in and enjoy all this beautiful work.
You're alluding to me as an artist saying, look what I made. But the other, you guys as gallery owners, have this broader vision of what people are looking for and want. How do you manipulate and adjust and fine-tune that?
For me, it's finding the artist that has the vision and has the credentials. I mean, all of my artists are very successful. They're all in galleries all over the states. I have 25, and 17 of them are local. They're just very, very accomplished. And if I buy into that person and what they're doing, then that's my artist, you know. And my stable's been really solid for quite a few years. Really good people.
Talk to us about your stable of artists.
We really have just about as much as we can handle right now. 90 is a lot, but we really find that the way to keep in touch with them is just to reach out and see what they're up to. They love to come and visit. And we really just try to do the best we can. And we feel that the communication is so important with them. They want to hear the feedback about what customers are saying about their work. And so we really work hard. We work hard with that.
David, in your world?
Well, my gallery is just my work, so it's very easy for me to find my artist. I only carry the paintings I want to. No.
Why didn't you ever open your gallery up to others?
A, it's so small.
Okay.
It's only 900 square feet. It's the little barn down at the end of the street.
So you even have to control yourself, right?
Yeah, yeah. And when I started toying with the idea about having a gallery, I would mention it to Lisa down here, and this was the only place that stuck on my list as being an option because it would let me show it the way I wanted to in unconventional ways of showing art. I've always wished art could be a little more accessible, a little friendlier. You know, so many people are uncomfortable viewing art, and so if we could do it in a setting to let them engage with it, what a great thing that would be. And so that was the whole goal from day one.
And it's working.
It's working, yes.
That's really cool.
Yes.
All right. Anything you guys want to add? Now's your time.
So funny. Lisa and David both presenting their own art. We've had conversations where there's pieces you've created that you just love. You're almost like, I'm not sure if I really want to sell this. Mm-hmm. And this I'm not too sure of. We experience sometimes art pieces come in and we're like, this will sell. This, someone will grab this today because it's so wonderful. 6 weeks later, it's still at the gallery. Then another piece will come in and we'll say, I'm not really too sure about that. Mm-hmm. And it's gone that afternoon.
Oh, that's
so
funny.
We say, you know, we know just so much. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to, you know, pretend we're the end-all expert.
Yeah. And you know, that can be a very tricky place that John's just talking about. Mm-hmm. Because how far do you let the public? I get so stuck there. How far do I let the cater? And how do I start?
Direct you.
Yeah, how much do I have to stay true to myself? Mm-hmm. And that can be a very tricky place when you're in business. But I think it is so important that we have to go back and tap into our vision and what started it all and what feels authentic to us. Yeah, but it's a balancing act.
And how about, there are a lot of people that love art, but they don't have much money. Do you find a way to have entry level things that a working person could afford?
I can speak to that. I finally gave into creating some product that people could afford because I did struggle with it. It took people with real money to be able to buy the original work. And I had so many other people wanting it. And so I finally decided I could do other products and other things to offer, but my goal had to be they all had to be top quality. Mm-hmm. If they're paper, then you find the best paper you can find. So then when I do it that way, I'm still proud.
So it's just Gislay?
The Gislays, and I even have cards and some entry level pieces. Cool. Like that, yeah.
And that works?
Oh yeah, it's worked great actually, yeah.
Okay, anything you guys want to add? You're holding back.
I think for me, since I've been here for 21 years, and when I started, I was the only art gallery, and it was really, really strange because no one expected to find that out here. But when David Arms came, it just started strengthening. And then John and Talbot, we've got three galleries on this one block, and it really spans the gap of all types of art, like from very high-end to more affordable, like you asked about. The variety and the span of that is just beautiful. It's really, really a good thing.
I seem to recall Leaper's Fork getting an association as a walking art gallery destination.
It should be. It really should.
It's happening, right?
Yep.
Didn't you start a plein air festival? Or that happens here?
Yes, it's a group called PAPSI, that's Plein Air Painters of the Southeast. Every year we have had a festival with them where they come and paint in town for a week. And then at the end of the week, we sell the wet paintings. Oh, and cool. It's over 100 paintings.
So that would be a good momentum builder.
It is.
For Leaper's Fork as an art destination.
Yes, a lot of people really enjoy that event. They do. And this year we had Peter Trippi, who is the executive editor of Fine Art Connoisseur, spoke. And we're trying to build it up.
To learn more about your guys' world.
My name is Lisa Fox at Leaper's Creek Gallery. To learn more, you could go to our website, which is leaperscreekgallery.com.
I'm Talbot Grimm. My husband John and I own the Copper Fox Gallery. And to learn more, our website is thecopperfoxgallery.com.
David?
I'm David Arms, owner of the David Arms Gallery. And to learn more, go to davidarms.com.
Much too logical. And I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Leaper's Fork, Tennessee.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst, from swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guesthouse overlooking the Pacific Ocean. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to support the conservation and restoration of Hearst Castle while offering youth programs for underserved students, preserving the past and inspiring future generations of dreamers. These children experience a world of science, technology, engineering, art, and math at Hearst Castle STEAM, along with studying the legacy of Julia Morgan, one of the most important women in the history of engineering and architecture. The foundation at Hearst Castle not only changes the lives of children, but also provides lifetime memories and unrivaled experiences for our generous donors and members. Discover how you can become a member by going to foundation@hearstcastle.com and learn how you can support this unique and invaluable mission. You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
I'll be turning 33 next Friday morning. Friday morning 15 years ago, my grandfather called me to his bedside, and he told me there was something I should know. He said, don't stray too far from the land, boy. The land will one day set you free. When the cities all are dying, the folks up there are crying. The land will save you, wait and see. So I loaded up my car and moved to Denver to work a job and chase big city dreams. But I never found the life I really wanted till I came back home to Leaper's Fork, Tennessee. He said, don't stray too far from the land, boy. The land will one day set you free. When the cities all are dying, the folks up there are crying. The land will save you, wait and see. It didn't hit me quite as hard then as those words come through today. But in the chaos all around me, I can still hear Grandpa say, don't stray too far from the land, boy. The land will one day set you free. When the cities all are dying, folks up there crying, the land will save you, wait and see.